Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Reaping Havoc by Kel Carpenter and Meg Ann. Narrated by Holly Jackson. It is when we are the most lost that we sometimes find our truest friends. The Brothers Grimm, Snow White. Chapter 1. Oh Shit Bar.
"Do you always drive like this?"
Not Morticia complained from the back seat.
"No wonder you crashed the first time."
I rolled my eyes, choosing to ignore her, while I tried to focus on Graves and what he was saying.
"Are you even paying attention?"
he asked from the passenger seat of the Impala, clearly frustrated. "Yep, totally paying attention," I said, not mentioning the ghost in the back seat who was being a pain in my ass.
"Then what do you think?"
I blinked. "Think? About what?"
"Salem,"
he groaned. "I just went through it. We need to decide what we're going to do about James. I think..."
"I already told you. Baseball bat. That's my thought on that subject, and I'm standing by it,"
I said, flipping on my turn signal. I may drive fast, but I wasn't a completely reckless idiot. Usually. Graves sighed.
"And I already told you that isn't an option. We can't just beat the shit out of him with a baseball bat."
"Sure we can," I answered, pulling onto the off-ramp. "We ride up to the house. He'll be shocked we're alive, like, what? And then we beat him up. Easy." Graves shook his head at me, subtly grabbing the oh shit bar as I took the loop a little too fast. I smirked.
"And then?" he asked. "Beating him up is nice and all, but it's not a solution. We need to bring him before the council."
I side-eyed him. "Look how well that ended up for us last time. What do you think they'll do when they realize I'm not a reaper, even though the blood doesn't lie?" I said, mimicking the weird witch lady.
"I don't know," he answered. "But they can't kill us because the blood rite can't be undone. So whatever the punishment is..."
"See?" I said, motioning with one hand. "That right there is why we shouldn't go to them. You assume we're going to be punished for something neither of us can control. What kind of bullshit is that?" I demanded. Graves looked away, the muscle in his jaw ticking.
"Shouldn't you be looking at the road?"
Not Morticia piped up from the back. She leaned forward, putting her head between Graves's and mine. I wasn't going to give her the satisfaction of responding to the snipes from a 12-year-old that probably died before cars were even a thing.
"I can't be the one to punish him, Salem," Graves said quietly. "I know you don't like the council, and I'm not exactly their biggest fan right now either, but they exist for cases like this. These kinds of things are what they're meant to handle."
"Psychotic reapers who are high on power?" I answered lightly, also pretending not to see his glare.
"Bad supernaturals that put the whole community at risk."
I pulled into the decrepit parking lot outside the Bitter Bean. The lot was mostly empty, apart from the ghosts. I knew they weren't living, because they weren't dressed for this century. "We can talk about this later. Right now, we need to see what Darla knows," I said, stalling. From the look on Graves's face, he knew it.
"Fine," he breathed. "I'll drop it for now. But as soon as we're done here, we need to finalize our plan. It's not safe..."
"Blah, blah, blah," I said, cutting him off as I got out of the car. "Why don't you try loosening the hold on that stick in your ass just a little bit, Graves? All that stress can't be good for your health. Or mine," I added as an afterthought, wondering if the blood rite would also pass along minor things like heartburn and indigestion.
"How are you not taking this more seriously?"
he asked, coming around his side of the car to join me. Not Morticia followed along beside us.
"He's right, you know."
"Fuck off," I growled, trying hard to ignore the dozen or so new ghosts that were also trailing along in our wake like we were leading some kind of macabre parade.
"Hey,"
Graves said, hearing my curse and thinking it was aimed at him. I sighed as we reached the door to the coffee shop.
"I am taking this seriously, Graves. It's not like I'm over here throwing a party and burying my head in the sand."
His fire-bright blue eyes scanned my face, lingering on my lips just long enough that I felt an answering pull in my stomach.
All right.
With him satisfied for the moment, we walked into the shop and up to the counter. Hey, Clay. Darla in? The barista's face was as expressionless as always, his hair freshly buzzed and practically invisible against the shine of his scalp.
It's Thursday. Darla doesn't work on Thursdays.
Oh. Shit. Graves and I exchanged a glance. It hadn't crossed my mind that she did something as mundane as taking a day off. Well, when will she be? I was stopped short by the appearance of a head through the black beaded curtain. Sorry, I'm running a little late. Come on back. The slight widening of Clay's eyes was the only sign that he was startled by Darla's appearance. Apparently, none of us really knew the woman that ran the occult shop in the back, although I couldn't help but feel a little vindicated as we passed Clay. So, she began when we reached her counter, you needed to see me? I crossed my arms and cocked my hip, debating for less than a heartbeat how I wanted to play this. Why didn't you tell me? I asked, deciding to go on the offensive. Tell you what? That I was going to die. Again. Darla lifted a brow, her brown eyes shifting between Graves and me. Did you know? Oh, cut the shit. We all know you know way more than you're saying. She smiled, her entire face warm and almost proud as she assessed me. Fate is a tricky thing. Events must play out as planned to ensure a certain outcome. To interfere. She broke off and shrugged. It jeopardizes everything. So you're saying I had to die? She nodded. Why? Graves interjected. For things to come to pass. Are you talking about the council, the blood rite, James? I was shooting off questions like they were accusations. Darla was completely unfazed. In a sense? She shrugged. What does that mean? I asked in a hard voice. It means exactly what I said. The future is like smoke. I can see the makings of what will happen, but it changes when the wind blows. Every decision you make adjusts the future. There are more possibilities than there are blades of grass. I blinked, thinking about that as I leaned an arm against the counter. But can't you just say what happened so I can do the right thing? Darla shook her head, exasperated with me. It doesn't work that way. If I tell you what to do, that also changes the outcome. I pressed my lips together. It was an awfully convenient excuse, even if it did make sense. Did you know James was the one that killed my brother? I asked. Her answer would determine how much we could really trust her. No, she said, reaching down to grab a rag from below the counter and started wiping the faded surface down. I didn't see that until your deaths. Even with the gift of sight, I can't see everything. I relaxed a little. While secretive and more than a little weird, at least she wasn't just letting him run around killing people and doing nothing.
Salem isn't a reaper, Graves said,
redirecting the conversation once more. No, she isn't, Darla agreed. But if you knew that, why didn't you say anything? I asked, turning to put both hands on the counter. You never asked, Darla pointed out. But even if you had, you weren't ready to know. Had you known, the council would also know now. Tamsin's mom, I said, understanding dawning on me. The compulsion. Darla nodded. The compulsion. A slight grin played on her lips. Things happened as they needed to. You found the right path, all on your own. And if we hadn't? I asked. Darla shrugged. The world would continue on, I suppose. There are endless other ways this could have gone. Most of them recoverable. I stared at her, my mouth slightly ajar. This whole future-seeing thing was getting a bit trippy for me.
Okay, Graves said. But if she's not a reaper, then what kind of supernatural is she?
Darla paused, her hand with the rag going still. Her eyes lifted to regard me. There was weight there. Knowledge I didn't yet know or understand. Truth that I knew without a doubt was going to change things.
She's not a supernatural at all, Darla said. Salem is something else entirely.
Chapter 2 Gretel the Unfriendly Ghost. I struggled for words as the sound of a record screech echoed in my mind. What the actual fuck? Graves managed to get his shit together before I did.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Darla rolled her eyes. What part of not a supernatural did you not understand? I grinned despite myself. It was exactly the kind of comeback I would use. I'm pretty sure Darla was my spirit animal, ability to see the future notwithstanding. Graves grit his teeth, the vein in his neck pulsing wildly.
If she's not a supernatural, what is she?
Darla gave a lazy shrug.
There's not really a word for it.
Seeing that Graves was about to lose it, she held up her hand and kept talking. She comes from a time before human things, such as language, existed. The worlds we have today, they cannot fully encapsulate all that she truly is. It would be like saying a shark is a whale. They both live in the water and have fins, but they are hardly the same. I put a hand on Graves' arm as I leaned closer to Darla. Okay, so am I the shark or the whale in this scenario? Darla's grin was a little scary as she replied, You, my dear, are the creature the shark fears. I lifted both eyebrows. So I'm like a dolphin? A pod of dolphins? Well, there's only one me, so that can't be right.
Salem,
Graves said on an exasperated breath. Not the point, got it, I said, leaning back from the counter and putting on a serious face. What am I, Darla? She placed a surprisingly rough hand on mine. You are one of death's daughters. I blinked at her as my brain tried to understand what that meant. Death? Like Hades, the guy in the underworld? Darla moved her hand in a back-and-forth motion that I took to mean sort of.
Hades is a personification of death in Greek mythology. A character from a storybook. The real death is of chaos, one of the five powers that created the worlds.
I'd never tried acid, but trying to follow Darla's explanation made me feel like I was in the middle of one hell of a trip.
Worlds? Plural?
I asked, enunciating the S. She nodded.
Death gifted each world with one of his daughters to oversee it. For as long as the world has spun, so too has there been a daughter to watch over it.
Graves was shaking his head.
That doesn't make any sense.
It makes perfect sense, Darla countered. All creatures, human or otherwise, die. Someone must be in charge of the souls, helping claim them and either return them to their next life or send them to what lies beyond. That sounds a lot like what reapers do, I said, not understanding the distinction she was trying to make. Darla gave us a smug smile.
Where do you think the reapers came from?
She was responding to my question, but her answer was for Graves. I turned to him, wondering if he knew what she was talking about. His jaw was hard, his gaze distant, like he was trying to recall something he'd heard a long time ago.
I don't understand, he said finally,
frustration leaking into his voice.
Reapers were created to keep supernaturals in line. We were given our gifts from...
He looked at me, and then back to Darla. Death, she said with a smile, finishing for him. You were told one of the many versions that have made it through history. Chances are none of them are completely true. Most of them have certain elements, though. Consistencies. In every story that tells how grim reapers were made, it starts with the Black Plague. The Black Plague? I repeated. Darla nodded. The plague was the largest case in history where supernaturals got out of control. It said that death itself couldn't stop them alone. For there was only one death, and many supernaturals. So, death created others to help itself. She looked at Graves then, nodding in his direction. But I don't even know how to process this. Death? That makes no sense. I can't be death, I'm only 22, and I sure as hell didn't create reapers. My eyebrows scrunched together as I tried and failed to comprehend what this even meant.
Well, that's the fun part. You did do that. Just not this you.
I narrowed my eyes. What does that even mean?
You died, Darla said shortly.
I blinked. We just explained that I died and came back. I'm confused. I can't die. I glanced over at Graves, and for once he was looking as lost as I was. Neither of us can. Darla sighed.
You can die, sometimes, but you are always reborn, because you're a daughter of death, though as far as this world is concerned, you are death itself.
My head was doing a serious bender to try to get what she was saying, but I was holding in there. Okay. Let's try a different question I might actually be able to understand the answer to. How do you know all of this? Darla took a deep breath and walked out from the other end of the counter. She pulled out a book and flipped it open. From where I stood, I could tell it was a picture, but that was about it.
I know, she started,
pausing to walk back over and extend the image in her hand toward me.
Because you were ill 30 years ago. Except your name wasn't Salem Kane back then. It was Jamie Molt. We were best friends.
I stared at the picture, my jaw falling open. Two girls stood next to each other, smiling at a camera. While the picture was grainy, it was unmistakably a younger version of Darla and me. I had my arm over her shoulder, and she had hers around my waist. I looked a little younger than I was now, and instead of pink, my hair was its natural shade of silver gray that it had been ever since I turned 16.
How?
I asked, finding my voice, though the most I could bring myself to say was that single word.
Normally, you can't die. Sometimes you can. I don't understand all the rules, frankly. I only know what Jamie told me before she was killed. This was taken only months before.
I pinched the image between my fingers and took it from her, bringing it close to my face. This was a lot, even for me. I was so going to decimate my emergency stash of chocolate as soon as we got back in the Impala.
I think you should start from the beginning, Graves said, handling this curveball far better than I was.
Darla shrugged.
I've told you practically everything I know. Jamie was killed by a vampire when she was 13. About a month later, she had a run-in with a feral shifter. That's when the ghost started appearing to her. She said each time she died, they told her more, revealing pieces of her past. That's how we learned about the daughters. It wasn't until a few years later that she realized she was being hunted. It was around that time that I inherited my own power. I tried to protect her, but it was too late. All that was left was a letter she'd hidden for me, asking me to find her when she returned and help her, you, figure it out sooner this time.
Not Morticia chose that moment to remind me of her presence.
Told you that you should listen to me.
I glared at her over Graves' shoulder, using his body to shield my hand as I gave her the middle finger.
If Jamie knew all of this, why did she never involve the Council or even the Reapers? They could have protected her,
Graves said. Darla snorted.
Those pompous fools. When have they ever tried to do anything for anybody else? The Council craves power, and they fear what they do not understand. Jamie would have been little more than a science experiment for them to study and destroy. We stayed far away from them and the Reapers.
But if she, my head ached, trying to keep the pronouns straight, created the Reapers, aren't we allies? Shouldn't they want to help me?
Why?
Darla asked, completely serious.
To admit that there is a being more powerful than they are negates their authority.
The witch had a point. Graves' plan to involve the Council was looking like less and less of a good idea, especially if past me had been against it as well. So let me get this straight, I said, rubbing my temples. I am Death, or at least related to an entity we know as Death. A past version of me likely created the Reapers. I can't be killed, except when I can.
And every 30 years or so, after I happen to die for real, I'm reincarnated to try and frogger my way through life all over again? Darla smirked at my video game reference, but was nodding along. Essentially. Anything else I need to know? I asked dryly, not really expecting her to answer. As far as we were able to tell, whatever was hunting her is the same thing that finds you in every life. I helped hide you when you were a child. Your mother... Wait, you knew my mom? Darla nodded. When I foresaw that she was pregnant with you, I went to her. Together we tried to keep you safe, take you away from Ferris Square, and give you time to learn and grow before you had a chance to face your hunter once more. That's why I requested your blood. I tried to renew the spell, but now that your powers are growing, I do not think there is much I will be able to do to keep you hidden. One thing I learned from Jamie is that each time she died, her power grew. Wait. I held my hand up, putting the brakes on this conversation. That's the reason my mom left my dad? She always told me he was a dangerous man, but then she died in a car accident and we went to live with Dad, and he was nothing like she said. I assumed they just had a bad falling out. I looked away. For someone that always valued the truth, it stung like a bitch this time. My birth was the reason my mom left, and everything after. I swallowed hard. No. I wouldn't go down that road blaming myself for her leaving. It wasn't my fault they split up. It wasn't on me that she worked 2 full-time jobs and she fell asleep at the wheel. None of that was my fault. I didn't choose to be born, just like I probably didn't choose to die. Like, for real die. Not the thing I usually did, which apparently gave me more badass powers. You have no idea what's hunting me, do you? I asked. Darla shook her head. Not Morticia? I called. She popped up beside me, a scowl on her face. That's not my name, she said pointedly. Well, you never told me your name because you've been too busy being creepy while you give me half-baked warnings, so it's the best I got, I replied. Her lips puckered like she bit a lemon. Gretel, she said. What?
My name is Gretel.
That's not important right now.
How would you like it if I called you Bubblegum Head? She argued.
Oh, my God. I pressed a finger to my temple. It's just a name. For fuck's sake, you're dead. Why does it even matter? I wasn't the greatest at making friends, and I clearly struggled with tact. So when I insulted a 12-year-old and her eyes started to water, I didn't know what to say. Gretel, I opened my mouth and looked at Graves, who was shaking his head in the universal sign of nope. All at once, her tears dried and she burst out laughing maniacally.
Got you, she said.
I threw my head back and sighed. Seriously? You know what? Whatever. Do you know what's hunting me?
Maybe, she said, drawing out the E.
I narrowed my eyes. Are you going to tell me?
Can't,
she said with a shrug. Can't? I repeated, throwing my hands up. Why the fuck not?
Because you're not the worst out there. At least not yet.
With that, she vanished in a puff of smoke that I was pretty sure she did for dramatic effect, because no other ghost seemed to do that. I groaned loudly, mumbling under my breath about the disappearing acts of spirits that haunted me. So, Graves said. Did I just overhear that you had a conversation with Gretel? Like from Hansel and Gretel? Is Gretel a 12-year-old that looks like the vamp representative on the council? I asked. Yeah. Then probably. She said she can't tell me what's hunting me because I'm not the worst thing out here, at least not yet, whatever that means. I rolled my eyes, really not enjoying this change of events. Wasn't it bad enough that I already had one psycho and his pet werewolf wanting to kill me? Jimmy also expressed that frustration with the ghosts, Darla said. Well, at least there's that, I said, at a loss for where to go from here. When we'd decided to come to Darla for answers, I'd hoped she could shine some light on what I was, but I hadn't been remotely prepared for the truth. especially not as it related to my family history.
So what am I supposed to do, Darla? I asked. If I don't know what's coming for me, how am I supposed to stop it?
Grow, evolve, learn, she said, as if it should be obvious. My eyes narrowed.
You mean die again. That's how I apparently level up, right?
Die now, so that when the time comes to face your hunter, you don't.
Is that even supposed to make sense? I asked, even though it did. Kind of. I looked at Graves. He was shaking his head.
Dying is not a plan. Figuring out how to keep her alive is, he said, glaring at Darla.
If she fails again, her life isn't the only one at risk.
Graves' jaw clenched.
Come on, Salem. I've had enough cryptic bullshit for one day. Let's get out of here.
But that cryptic bullshit is all we have to go off, I argued. Graves looked over at Darla.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Don't be a fool. Whatever got Jamie last time, we'll find Salem again now. It has in every life. Avoiding it only hurts you both.
His eyes turned a little frosty.
Duly noted. We're leaving.
I opened my mouth to say something, but Graves had already turned on his heel and was halfway out the door. One look at his eyes had me snapping my mouth shut and following after. I guess we're leaving. Darla nodded as if expecting as much.
Goodbye, Salemkin, and good luck.
I paused at the beaded entryway and looked back over my shoulder, but Darla was already gone. Chapter 3. Boot Shot. Well, that was weird, I started, following him out of the shop. I wasn't paying attention and ended up plowing into his back when I didn't notice the sudden stop. Hey! I whacked his shoulder. Graves didn't move. I leaned around him. Understanding hit me fast when I saw James standing at the end of the sidewalk. He was staring at the Impala, a pucker between his brows. My heart thudded in my chest as he slowly looked up, seeing us for the first time. His watery blue eyes went wide. He froze for a fraction of a second, and that was all I needed before I took off. I'd never professionally hunted people down at any point in my life, and while sort of tall for a girl, I wasn't built for slugging matches or playing football. None of that stopped me from charging him. I was halfway down the sidewalk when his common sense hit and he turned, taking off in the opposite direction. At the end of the lot, an Aston Martin Vantage that wasn't there when we arrived sat by its lonesome.
Oh, no you don't, I muttered.
For once, I was thankful for leg day and all that running Graves had me do. Adrenaline flooded my system and I ate up the pavement between him and I. He was only just clearing the edge of the hood when I tackled him full force. My breath left me in an audible, guttural oomph as our bodies hit the craggy cement. Well, he hit the cement. I landed on him. Turns out a lanky 20-year-old murderer is only kind of softer than the ground. Remembering how we died last time, I rolled off of James and scrambled to my feet. He was still dazed and not completely there when I paid him back for that boot to the face. Not holding back, I brought down my heel on his bandaged nose. Apparently, a Reaper's improved healing abilities didn't mean immediate healing. Sucked to be him. Crunch. James's head hit the ground again. His mouth fell open, his tongue lolling to the side. I lifted both eyebrows, assessing my awesomeness, as Graves came to stand beside me.
What the hell were you thinking?
He hissed, grabbing my arm. Well, if I'm being honest, which I always am, I wasn't thinking exactly. But look, he's knocked out. Now he can't go find his werewolf buddy before it tries to kill us again. Although now that I think of it, if something else is hunting me, then maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing.
Oh my God, Salem, Graves breathed. First, no dying on purpose. Second, you knocked him out, yes. But what are we going to do with him now? He demanded.
I looked back and forth between my car and the unconscious body of my brother's killer. A grin curled up the corners of my lips.
Oh, no, Graves said. I know that look.
I got an idea. I say we throw him in the back of the Impala and take him back to my place.
Salem,
he said, using my name in an admonishing tone.
That's a terrible idea.
Is it? I asked. Because as far as I can tell, the dude that killed my brother and probably my dad just found...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?